Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Boom and Bust: A Global History of Financial Bubbles by William Quinn and John D. Turner is a nonfiction work of economic history and financial analysis. It examines how speculative manias form, expand, and collapse across roughly three centuries of market history, using major episodes from Europe, the Americas, Asia, and beyond. Rather than treating bubbles as isolated accidents, the book compares them as recurring phenomena shaped by similar market conditions, especially liquid and marketable assets, abundant credit, and speculative behavior. Its purpose is both explanatory and practical to help readers understand why bubbles recur, why they can produce very different social outcomes, and why policy responses are often difficult. The book is written for general readers as well as specialists, and it combines historical narrative with a conceptual framework that makes the subject easier to analyze. As a result, it stands at the intersection of financial history, behavioral insight, and policy discussion. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the bubble triangle as the book's central explanatory framework. The most distinctive feature of boom and bust is its bubble triangle. The idea that financial bubbles require a combination of three conditions: assets that are easy to trade, abundant credit, and speculative excess. This framework gives the book a clear analytical structure and prevents the history from becoming a simple catalog of crashes. Instead, each episode is examined for how these three elements interacted in different settings. The point is not that every bubble looks identical, but that recurring mechanisms can be identified across time and geography. By organizing evidence around marketability, credit, and speculation, the authors provide a way to compare episodes that might otherwise seem unrelated, from 18th-century schemes to modern technology and property booms. This makes the book useful not only as history, but also as a diagnostic tool for understanding why financial instability develops. Secondly, three centuries of bubble history across multiple countries and asset classes. The book's historical scope is one of its major strengths. It studies around 10 major boom and bust episodes, including cases in Paris and London in 1720, Latin America in the 1820s, Melbourne in the 1880s, New York in the 1920s. Tokyo in the 1980s, Silicon Valley in the 1990s, and Shanghai in the 2000s. This range matters because it shows that bubbles are not confined to one era, one financial system, or one kind of asset. Some involved shares and securities, others housing, land, or technology-related speculation. By comparing such different settings, the book reveals both continuity and change financial innovation, and new markets alter the appearance of bubbles, but the underlying dynamics often remain similar. The broad historical canvas also helps readers see that bubbles are embedded in social and political contexts, not just in price charts or trading behavior. The result is a global history rather than a narrow set of case studies. Thirdly, why bubbles can damage economies in very different ways. The book does not assume that every bubble is equally destructive. One of its most interesting questions is why some booms and busts produce severe economic and social damage, while others can leave behind useful institutions, infrastructure, or broader participation in markets. This distinction gives the analysis more nuance than standard crash narratives. A bubble can channel capital into productive areas for a time, but it can also inflate distorted expectations, misallocate credit, and leave debt overhangs after the collapse. The authors therefore treat the consequences of bubbles as historically contingent rather than automatically catastrophic. That approach encourages readers to look at what was financed, who bore the losses, and what remained after the bust. It also helps explain why some episodes are remembered mainly as crises, while others are viewed as part of broader economic transformation. In this sense, the book links financial speculation to real-world outcomes without reducing all bubbles to the same moral or economic judgment. Fourthly, the limits of policy governments can fuel booms more easily than they can control them. Another major theme is the difficult role of policymakers. The book suggests that governments and regulators can often help create the conditions for a boom, especially when political goals encourage easier credit, relaxed rules, or expanded access to housing and finance. Yet once speculative excess takes hold, control becomes much harder. This asymmetry is central to the book's policy relevance. It explains why public authorities may unintentionally amplify bubbles while later struggling to contain the resulting instability. The argument is not that regulation is pointless, but that the timing and design of intervention matter greatly. By stressing how political decisions interact with market behavior, the book moves beyond the simplistic idea that bubbles are purely the result of irrational investors. It shows that boom conditions often emerge from institutional choices, which makes bust management as much a political problem as a financial one. For readers interested in regulation, central banking, or housing policy, this is one of the book's most practical insights. Lastly, a concise synthesis of financial history, speculation, and market behavior, Boom and Bust is also notable for how it combines scholarly research with accessibility. The writing is compact, heavily informed by historical evidence, and aimed at readers who want a serious account without excessive technicality. This balance allows the book to serve multiple audiences: investors looking for historical perspective, policymakers considering systemic risk, and general readers interested in why financial manias recur. Its broader contribution is to normalize speculation as a structural feature of capital markets rather than an abnormal exception. The authors do not deny the dangers of bubbles, but they also treat speculative behavior as something that emerges naturally in markets when the right conditions are present. That framing is useful because it shifts attention away from blaming isolated greed and toward understanding market design, credit conditions, and institutional incentives. In doing so, the book stands out as both a historical survey and a conceptual guide to recurring financial instability. In conclusion, Boom and Bust is best suited for readers who want more than a simple history of crashes. Investors, students of economics, financial historians, policymakers, and informed general readers will all find value in its comparative approach and its effort to explain bubbles through recurring mechanisms rather than isolated anecdotes. The practical benefit is a better ability to recognize the conditions under which speculative manias form, especially the interaction of credit, asset marketability, and collective exuberance. The intellectual benefit is a clearer understanding of how financial history connects to political decisions, institutional design, and long-run economic consequences. What sets the book apart from many other books in this area is its balance of breadth and structure. It covers centuries of episodes across multiple regions while using a single explanatory framework to connect them. That makes it more coherent than a simple chronology of panics and more grounded than a purely theoretical account of bubbles. It is a strong choice for readers who want historical depth, analytical clarity, and policy relevance in one compact study. If you would like to support William Quinn, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.